the things in your space, whether it's something on your calendar, something in your drawer, in your purse, in your car, in your mind, you're picking up on that energy. It's distracting from our energy when things aren't working properly. So I did 10 of those things, minor stuff. My energy by the beginning of the next week was like, holy cow, it's distracting. It's pulling our attention.
Welcome back to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Fairclough.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli.
Listen, burnout is becoming a lifestyle. And the worst part is that so many women are not even aware of it. Joining us today is Polly Merkins, who is an expert in personal and professional productivity.
We will explore three strategies that will bring awareness to your life, will allow you to get out of this crazy roller coaster, and also implement strategies that will allow you to avoid or prevent burnout, but also truly create a fulfilled life. Polly, we hear a lot about the word burnout. And I see a lot of women inside our community really like high functioning and fire flight mode. And they don't know yet. They're not aware that they are experiencing burnout. So now if I am somebody that is listening to this episode, how can I evaluate if that's me, if I am experiencing burnout, or if it is just a stressful day in my life? What's the difference and how can one evaluate that?
You know, it can show up differently for different women. So what I see often is, for myself anyway, and clients that I've served, is when it's consistent. You know, when you might be frustrated for a day, or you might be tired for a day or two, or you can't, you know, complete everything on your to-do list, so you feel a little overwhelmed, if you will. But if it becomes consistent, and it, I would say like it stacks and builds, and you just find yourself shorter to get frustrated, shorter to, you know, like say, you know, you're just like, ah, can't take it, right? That emotional dysregulation starts to creep up. That's usually a sign that it's not just, you know, too many to-dos or, you know, too much going on today, or I didn't get enough sleep last night. It's like, no, you haven't slept for the past, you know, 3 weeks, right? You're burning it too much, candle at both ends, if you will.
For those of you that are saying, yes, and...
And I have to. Yeah, right.
I had to, because if I didn't do it, who would do it? So now that I have the awareness, well, something is constant. That's how I am behaving, but that's not how I want to live my life. So how do I get out of this roller coaster and give myself, I believe, like a space to first think about it? Is that creating the space to think as like the next step for me to move from this situation to my ideal way of being?
What I find is it's two steps. First is scheduling time for yourself. Right? We largely just schedule time for all these commitments, all these things that we're doing. We just don't schedule time for ourselves, right? It's like that difference between working on your business or working in your business. So this is working in your life or working on your life, right? And so it's setting up time for that. And then it's going inward, right? And really, we do a lot of comparison out in the world, like, oh, my life should look like this. Everybody's doing this. You know, what are other people doing? And we don't really tune into what we really want. I find that for myself, a lot of what drove me for many years was, you know, like, oh, it has to look like this, you know, get a job, get married, buy a house, you know, and then on and on and on. And I never really checked in with myself. There was this like unfulfillment inside. And so when I stepped back and I was like, wait a minute, what do I even care about? What do I even want? And I've done this many times in my life recently, even. So I love travel, right? So for many, many years, it's been just how many stamps can I get on my passport for decades and decades and decades? And it was just travel, travel, travel. And I recently came back from a trip to Singapore and Malaysia. And I'm in my 50s, right? And I've been to a lot of countries. And I came back and I was like, wow, I think I've kind of checked that off the list. You know, like, I think, you know, and what that paired with for me was, I do a gratitude practice every morning. And so I sit in meditation. I go through, this is, you know, largely Tony Robbins' work. If you've ever heard of him, it's like three things you're grateful for. And so I'll sit and I'll think about like, what are the three moments in my life that I'm most grateful for? And as you do that, and I looked over the years that I've been doing this, never once, maybe once, was the moment in that meditation practice that I was grateful for, being by myself on the mountaintop or, you know, you know, checking something out or like taking a picture, you know, of a beautiful waterfall. It was time with people. It was those special moments where you're eating and drinking with people that you care about, or you're doing activities, or you're just having a tender moment with someone special to you. And I really paused and I said, where did I get this idea? Not that it was, I mean, it was very joyful and adventuresome, and I was off running around, you know, for most of my life traveling. And I came back from that trip and I said, I don't know if I need to do that. And then looking at my gratitude practice, and I went, wait a minute, what is even most important to me? And so but you have to stop and like recognize that. Like you said, the first step is that self-awareness. And I became aware, what's most fulfilling to me, right? And I think that changes in our life. And so at this phase of my life, what was most important to me in my 20s and 30s, you know, a lot of discovery.
It shifted. Yeah. I love that. And it really is a nice segue into what we want to chat with you about today is, you know, what are the rules to not just prevent burnout, but to probably move through it and move past it and to really keep ourselves in a healthy space. So I love what you talk about, because this is a perfect segue into scheduling smart. And you talked about, or you shared with us, and I want to just make sure I read it correctly, working in your peak zone. So once you've gotten that awareness, once you've done some of that reflection, once you've gotten that space, you're suggesting, right, working in that peak zone. And you say something about the 25-5 and the 50-10 scheduling. So tell us more about that. Let's break that down. I love new strategies. So let's talk about that.
I'm a continual student myself, and I just want to share even a bigger picture as I've been through menopause myself. And I find that as I've learned so much through that journey of hormones and irregularity and what's going on in my body, I think that's a whole conversation that women just need to be having. Like, if you're not talking about hormones, even in your 20s, all the way through it, anybody wants to talk about hormones with me, please contact me. It's amazing.
I'll call you.
I wish somebody
had your phone number there. Call me after this.
Yep. Right. So I've read books, and I'm not the expert at this, but what I understand now is, especially, so I don't have the same cycle as a woman who is perimenopausal or premenopausal, right? So I, you know, don't have that. But in that phase of life, which most women find themselves in the working life, they talk about your cycle is even the time. So men, you know, their testosterone, things are, you know, totally different chemicals going on in their body at different levels. Females, there's different cycles that, you know, days, you know, this, like we've talked about, oh, PMS, I'm a little less tired, whatever. If you study the how the hormones affect your 28-day cycle, there's days where you're more creative. There's days that you're more like badass and like get after that gym or make those, you know, aggressive phone calls. So just knowing, like, what I want to say is, on the whole, in the 30 days, if you want to optimize your performance and optimize your rest as well, right? Because those periods, those hormones fluctuate throughout the month. So I just wanted to kind of contextualize that. Now, if we drill down into your hourly or your moment to moment type thing. So, and you know, this has been studied for a lot of years, but in the brain, there's this ramping up that goes on, right? So if I was to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to take on this project or this task, and largely we get very distracted and diverted and a lot of things. But if you become the type of person, you schedule time with yourself to work on a project. What I like to do, one of my favorites, is 50-10. So for 50 minutes, I say, I'm working on this thing, and I'm going to use all of my brain power to focus on this, shut the phone off, shut the computer, and all those things. And I can focus on that. And as if you look at studies, the brain cycle, it ramps up. So there's this, like, the brain has to go, what are we talking about? And what do I know about this? And, you know, get that creative peak, and you hit that stride, right, about 20 minutes in, and then you're in the flow, you know, depending on how you feel, are you hydrated, you know, that sort of thing. But if you have no distractions, you can get way more productivity in 50 minutes. Take a 10-minute break, because, you know, our lives have things going on. We can't maybe be away from our business or our family or our commitments or our team. Depending on you, I find that 50 minutes is great, and then 10 minutes, okay, take a break, you know, maybe look outside. If you're looking at the computer for 50 minutes, look at a faraway distance, things like that.
First of all, I love what you're mentioning about the hormones, because I think a lot of women that have built successful businesses, we have built on our 20s and 30s, and we expect the same level of energy, right? And many, many of us have kids, and we're expecting, like, why can I not wake up at 5 a.m. and do what I used to do, and really, like, keep up the same thing? I think that that's unrealistic expectation. And also, we have the capacity if we optimize. So what I'm hearing is that let's create our schedule based on our cycles. It makes a lot of sense because I don't know if women are paying attention a lot about that and how that piece impacts our performance, our productivity, and how we're showing up for ourselves and for our teams. It's more of a like a holistic approach versus like, oh, scheduling smart. I'm like, I'm just going to time block as I did on my 20s and 30s. Exactly as the real estate, right? Strategies change because the market changed. I think the way that we schedule things has to change as we evolve in our lives. You recommend women to take an emotional and energetic audit and start time blocking based on that. What do I need to ask myself to understand where am I at in this audit?
And I did this. I was taught this, so I didn't, you know, create this. But one of the things that I learned through a week-long retreat with Tony Robbins was I learned that I had a lot of emotional dysregulation in my 20s and 30s because I had an eating disorder. So I was an addict, eating disorder, turned that around. But I had to start to understand how to regulate, how to emotionally regulate, if you will. And Tony Robbins talks about understanding what is creating those emotions. What are your triggers? Where, you know, what's causing some of these things? So what he did is you put together a daily, hourly log, and you just track, you know, what you're trying to do is notice what emotions are showing up for you most commonly in your day, right? So you have this thing like an emotional home that you hang out with. It's kind of like a band of emotions that you sometimes you have peak ones, sometimes you have lower ones, but we all tend to hang out in a band of emotions. So it's noticing what are you experiencing throughout your day most commonly. So you just write down, like, depending on how you can track this on an hourly log or maybe four or five times a day. Hourly is a little much, but I was able to do it about four or five times a day for a week. And you note, how are you feeling? Like, for God's sake, check in with yourself and emotion. Like, when do we do that, right? As women, like, how am I feeling? And sometimes it's a cocktail. Like, I feel a little frustrated, a little tired, a little annoyed, whatever. Next time it might be, oh my God, I'm so grateful. I just got to spend lunch with my friend or my kids or something like that, whatever it is. So it's just noting it. And then what was happening in that moment? And some of the things that I noticed for myself is when I was feeling, let's say, less than, or when I dropped below kind of like feeling good, I was doing a lot of comparing. I was comparing myself to other people. And I was like, what the hell is that about? You know, why am I doing that? So just this.
You're kind of getting to the root cause in a sense by doing the audit. You're taking it one step further of like what the emotion is. What's happening? It's funny, you know, because my son has a heart monitor on right now and he's doing that very thing, but for himself, like what am I feeling and what's happening to cause this? That's, you know, he's 10 and he's writing this down. I'm like, geez, I'm in my 40s. I need to do that. I don't need a heart monitor, but I'm like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But we usually do that with our tasks to understand where our time is going. I think I like this because I think that it brings more awareness. What is exactly the emotion that I'm feeling, right? And let's expand our emotion like dictionary, right? Besides like sad, angry, frustrated, there's so many other ones. And my son, since he's young, you know this, Liz, he has this thing called time in versus time out, where he sits there and think about different feelings that he's feeling. And then they have this large like piece of paper with so many feelings. And as a parent, I'm talking to him. So I say, oh, I see you are very frustrated. He's like, no, it's not frustration. I am mad and angry. So it's just like, and I encourage, the reason why I'm saying this, because I encourage you, all the women are listening, to really get to the feeling. What is it? You're annoyed. You're frustrated. You're really like, I'm actually sad. And that is showing up as anger. And then, right? And I think I want to do that to see what the patterns are in terms of the feeling and what's happening.
All right, we're going to do it. 7 days. All right.
Jesus, man.
We'll do a little accountability.
What did
Thank
I
you,
say
Polly.
Here? Nobody's listening. We can
Nobody's
cut this.
Listening.
Growth,
we can
baby,
cut this. But I like that in the sense that I am doing audit for creativity also, because I am really interested in understanding what are the patterns and then how is that coming up on my productivity and how is that impacting my business and how I'm showing up. Right. So I love this very much.
And I just want to add one thing to that. And that is, you know, so it's one thing to check in with the emotions. And then it's, I think, Liz, you mentioned is like, where is it coming from? So you go upstairs to the mind, because largely the mind is making meaning about what's going on. So it's just like, oh, I feel sad. Go upstairs to the mind. Why do I feel sad? What am I telling myself? How am I framing the situation? What am I thinking? What am I focusing on? You know, and that's largely creating the emotion. So, you know, get greater awareness that I'm sad or I'm frustrated or I'm pissed off or whatever.
And I'll go to the third floor. Let's take another floor up. Yeah. I'll go to the third floor, because one thing that I usually do is that I share what are my assumptions or what's going on inside my brain with people that I like, trust, and respect, right? So usually it's either my friends and my therapist, because I want to bounce some ideas out and say, okay, what am I feeling here? Does this make sense? Is this true? Is this based on my past, you know, experiences, traumas, or unresolved matters that I need to heal from? Or, oh no, this is normal. We all face the, wow, wait a minute, right? So I love processing it with other people too, versus also just keep it in our brains internally. I think I like to express just to kind of like have a sense of where am I at on the spectrum.
Yeah, it's amazing how we can have a lot of thoughts inside and just like the inner game, we almost define ourselves or understand ourselves better when we hear even just expressing it. It's like, oh yeah, I do feel like that. Oh yeah, that's what
yes,
I was
I
thinking.
Do.
Yeah.
Yes, I am annoyed. I do have those conversations. Yeah, but it's so interesting to get out of your head. That's the key, right?
For sure.
So the second rule over here, so the first is the scheduling. The second rule, you talk about clutter. And how that, the way that I interpret clutter is like a magnet from your energy. And so break that down for me. When you're saying clutter, what exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about objects? Are you thinking about, are you talking about thoughts? Are you talking about people around us?
I'm like, I hope no one comes to my house and opens any drawer, because that's what I'm thinking about right now. It's my clutter and my drawers.
Really?
Yes, that's what popped in my head of like, right, having too much stuff in a place is what
well,
I think.
Well, but is that what she's talking about?
Wow,
she's
true.
Also talking about like clutter of like thoughts, mm-hmm. people around. And I'll go further with my next question about how their people's right, clutter affect our own.
It's all of it, really. It's, you know, I mean, we're such energetic beings. I mean, I'm going to get a little woo-woo now. You know, I mean, you're such an energetic being. So like the things in your space, whether it's something on your calendar, something in your drawer, in your purse, in your car, in your mind, the person near you, you're picking up on that energy, right? And I'll just give you an example of how I started to realize this or learn about this. So I had a coach many years ago, business coach, and we were talking about business, and then she's like, well, I want you to write down this weekend 100 things in your house that you're tolerating. Just like write a list of 100 things that you're tolerating, small, big, whatever it is, paint chip on the baseboard, cluttered drawer, you know, la, 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 right? And she says, and I want you to do 10 of them. And I can't tell you. So I was, you know, so my list was whatever, you know, walking around the house, all these things. And it was surprising. I think we as women, we have that kind of just, you know, dispersed view. We can see all the clutter, you know, it's obvious type of things, but we also see the not so obvious things, you know, like the little paint chip or that thing that's like, oh, that's not working. The blind doesn't go upright or whatever it is. Right. And it's distracting from our energy when things aren't working properly. So I did 10 of those things, little things, paint chips and, you know, minor stuff. My energy by the beginning of the next week was like, holy cow. Cause it wasn't, it's distracting. It's pulling our attention.
And Jess has got a question.
Yeah, I was pausing. Well, I see her going into thought.
No, I feel that I am like very minimalistic. But now that I'm looking at my desk right now, there are a lot of books over here, and I like books. But now I'm thinking, like, there are a couple of papers here that I think that they need to go away. And what brings us energy? Do I need to bring, like, plant? Do I need, or just cleanliness and, like, organization? Does that, I want to know, like, okay, how can I also boost my energy? The opposite of that.
Yeah, there are definitely shows about, like, you know, the organizing experts and stuff like that. So I'm not here to, you know, be that. I'm just here to say, you already know, like, you intuitively will walk around and say, that lowers my energy. That gives me energy. Like the clothes in your closet, you can open the clothes in your closet and just look at the clothes and go, I don't feel good wearing this. You know, this makes me feel amazing. You know, you could just start there. It's like, what do you need to get rid of in the drawers in your closet? Liz, I think your idea of, like, you already know you've got this cluttered little drawer. See how it's just like sitting in the back of your mind? Just take that one thing, right?
I have done that, just not to put myself out there, but I, you know, working with my ADHD coach, I never thought clutter was an issue until I, like, looked around my house. I was like, oh my God.
What are you talking about? Told you.
I know you told me, but you diagnosed me. But anyway, it's very interesting because it's organized chaos. And what I want to say to
what? Them,
it's organized chaos at times, meaning it's clutter, but it's all clutter in the same, like, air, like, same topic. Like, my books are cluttered. Well, it's all books. It's not like random things in there. It's just all books. But my point in saying this is not about me, but my point in saying this is that things that we often think those 10 things are going to take a long time, and they actually don't. And so that's the thing for me that I had to work through. And if it resonates with anyone listening, is that use a timer, give yourself 10 minutes per item, one a day. And it's amazing what you get done versus, like, oh my God, I got to go organize all these things. Like, if I didn't know what I knew, I would be listening to you. Like, I feel so overwhelmed by listening to you, but I'm like, oh, I could do my 10 minute thing and I can knock those 10 things out in 10 days. Like, because I have a tool in place. But for those who are cluttered, it's overwhelming.
But who is going around saying that they're cluttered? I think that that's my point here. No, do people go around saying, yes, I acknowledge it's me? I don't think so.
What do you think?
Well, would you raise your hand or say, I don't know what you're talking about? Like,
I think there's levels.
Pretty organized.
Yeah, no, I think there are people who are, I'm like, I have a clutter issue. Yeah, absolutely. They're very clear that they do.
It's a level of spectrum.
It's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So my spectrum is, again, you walk into my house, it's not like I have, like, you know, I'm not a hoarder house. Like, I, you know, it's not like, oh my God, this person needs to be on a show because it's so crazy. Not like that, but it's very subtle. It's very subtle. And then it's very consistent for me, meaning It's every one of my drawers, I've had to create a process. It could get very chaotic in a drawer, not so much like out in the open. That's on me on the spectrum, right? They're all different types of people. So no, I think there's people who do know, and me that I'm like, I'm pretty organized. And I'm like, hold on, maybe I'm not as organized as I thought, you know, and it's a journey.
You know, and this is, you know, what we're trying to spotlight here is, like, is it causing more stress than, you know, is it leading to the burnout, right? If it's something that's, you know, it's just...
It does for me though, Polly.
Right?
I'll walk into my garage and we've had these boxes there. We're redoing our backyard. And I can't even actually, like, walk in my garage because there's so many things that are going to, you know, eventually get out of there. But I feel stress when I'm walking through that garage into my house. I'm like, now that I'm talking, I'm like, I should just not walk into the garage until, like, stuff gets out of there. But another story, continue on.
Well, it's temporary, right? We talked about burnout. It's like, you know, it's like you got a temporary inconvenience. You got a temporary, you know what, maybe you maybe have a mother-in-law that moves in, you know, it's like a 6-month thing while they're in transition to move to a different place or to assisted living or something like that. It's like a little bit of added something going on in your life that, you know, has a finite time period. Okay, great. We can usually, I don't want to say tolerate, but we can usually, you know, put our brain around that. It's when it sort of is creeping up on us, you know. So, you know, one of the things that I find is habits, right? So, like, what are our little habits that we are not paying attention to that are creating more of something, you know, like not putting, you know, the receipts away right away, or not something in your, it could be in your pantry. It's, you know, it could be in your car, your purse, whatever it is. Not getting your car cleaned might be, you know, just that annoyance for people. It's like, oh, driving around in a crummy car, you just don't feel your best. Whatever those things are, like I said, my coach was like, just come up with a list of 100 and then start working on it, right? And if you prioritize, like you said, Liz, like, it's amazing. You're absolutely right. Like, little micro moments, little micro moments. So there's, you know, get a task list and maybe that's something that can help you. Or it's just finding the thing that, like you said, Liz, don't go in the garage or and clean that thing up, right? Like once and for all, do it.
Or write a little note to Matt saying, take care of those super.
Yeah. Well, no, it's funny because I got taken care of this morning because recycling came and you should see the recycling we have. It's like, I might need to like slip them a 20 because it's so much. But now walking through it, I dropped my kids off and just the, you know, getting into the house, it's funny as you're saying, I wasn't aware of it until you saying that though. And I think that's the key is that we need to increase the awareness because women will take action when it makes sense to them. It's intentional. I just don't think it, to your point, Andressa, now I understand what you're saying about the awareness is that it's that's that awareness and it's taking that action. That's the key, you know, because it's there. Now you're saying that I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, I'm like, oh, so that's the piece.
I want to go to the third topic here because this is also something that I think women know, but they're not aware, if that makes sense, which is your third rule, which is like, know your strengths and hire your weaknesses. So women know that in order to live their best life and scale their business if they wish to and build a sustainable business that they can step out if they want to, it's through hiring people. Therefore, they still have the mindset of, you name it, I'm not big enough of a company yet. I can't handle it. I actually enjoy it. Right? All those items that in their mind seem like a very rational reasoning for it. Why women are not taking that step further to understand those are my strengths, those are my weaknesses, and I'm hiring for my weaknesses versus I need to work on this weakness and get better at that. Is that coming from school that we had to all always like work on the areas where we got C's? Is that where it's coming from?
It, you know, we have inherited conversations all around us, whether we inherited it at school, from society, from, you know, other people, whatever. So we adopt these beliefs because they're, you know, if it's at school, great. Or the family dynamic, you know, whatever it is. I would say largely, you know, and a lot of this goes down to valuing yourself. Right. So I think if we don't value ourselves, we think, yeah, okay. And, you know, and it's amazing because women are such givers, just naturally, you know, giving to the family, giving to the community, giving, 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 giving. And what we don't do is we don't value what we're worth and what we give. So one of the easy ways for me to explain this, and I did it for myself, is, you know, looking at the money that I can generate, the revenue, the income streams, the, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a career or the business, you know, or you can do deals, whatever that is. Like, I mean, a simple thing is like, turn that into an hourly rate. Like, you know, what did you make last year? You know, divide that into an hourly rate. Okay. Let's just say a baseline. Let's say you're a $200 an hour person or $500, $50, whatever it is, right? If you can hire less than that hourly rate, do it. Because your best use is doing something, you know. So for example, you know, I realize, you know, I pay my cleaner one thing and I can make this amount. Hello, does it make sense for me to clean my toilets? No, not only do I not like enjoy it, but you know, financially, it's just a math equation, right? We can make it about worth, sure, but just looking at it as a math equation, right? So does the CEO of, you know, Procter & Gamble or, you know, Ford Motor Company, do they say, oh, you know, I should be doing the bookkeeping. I should be doing the cleanup of the office. No, they're like, I am paid millions of dollars for my strategic brain, all these things that I can be doing. We need to just scale that down to our business size, right? What's the amount that I can be making if I'm doing deals, if I'm investing, if I'm looking at my portfolio, if I'm whatever, hire everything else.
I've always loved what you say, Andressa, too. You always say, can you buy 2 hours of someone's time? And I think that's a really helpful way to think of it versus hiring a full-time person or, you know, especially for the women listening, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That CEO of Procter & Gamble has the luxury that they can hire all these people. But to your point, Paula, we do need to make that connection and we need to make that step. The thought process is like, can I buy someone's time? Let's start there. And with all the different ways to do that now, Fiverr and all these different things. It is easy to do that. There's no excuse. So start there to really, you know, honor what you're saying, right, Polly, to
and scale it.
Buy back your time.
I love it. It's like, it doesn't have to be, like you said, a full-time employee with that, all the things that that comes with. It might be, you know, I'm carving out, you know, somebody do your social media. Like, that's an easy one for a lot of people. It's like, oh, I'll hire someone to do my social media. Great. I can be doing, you know, maybe I'm making the videos or whatever it is, but I'm having them, you know, put it up, do all the posting and stuff. So they're doing the lower level tasks, if you will.
Yeah.
Things that
so important.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane and start with the things that are based on the energy audit that you're going to have everyone do as a result, we're doing as well. It can be very clear what's giving you energy and taking your energy. So this is great, Polly. Appreciate the time and insight. We got some accountability as a result of this episode, which everyone listening better be on this journey with us. We want to hear your ideas and accountability in our Facebook group. But Polly, where can everyone listening learn more about you and follow you along your journey?
I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on. It was wonderful to be here. So my website is my name. It's pollymertens.com. And I would love to offer, you know, I do 30-minute consultative audits for anyone. So as a gift to you all, I can do pollymertens.com/investor. So if you want to get that complimentary audit with me, whether it's on your hormones or something in your business, scaling up, burnout, anything like that, I'd love to speak with someone about that.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Polly. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. And for you that are listening, take one thing that you heard. I wish you can take all of it, right? But you take one thing and take action, because that's the purpose of it. You acquire the knowledge and you apply it. You test out and let us know the results. Go to our Facebook group and let us know, hey, I did X, Y, and Z, and this is what I found out. I'm curious. And I'll let you guys know what I found out about my emotional tracker.
Get ready. I will too.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share it with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion, so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.